Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 11, the Universal Forum, text number 38. Tvam Adi Deva Purusha Puranas. Tvam Asya Vishvasya Param Nidanam. Vetasi Vedyam Chaparam Chadama. Tvayat Tatam Vishvam Anantarupa. Tvam, you, Adideva, the original Supreme God, Purusha, personality, Purana, old, Tvam, you, Asya, of this, Vishvasya, universe, Param, transcendental, Nidanam, refuge, Veta, the knower, Asi, you are, Vedyam, the knowable, Cha, and Param, transcendental, Cha and Dhamma, refuge, Tvaya, by you, Tatam, pervaded, Vishvam, the universe, Anantarupa, O universal form. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. You are the original personality of Godhead, the oldest, the ultimate sanctuary of this manifested cosmic world. You are the knower of everything, and you are all that is knowable. You are the supreme refuge above the material modes. O limitless form, this whole cosmic manifestation is pervaded by you. Purport, everything is resting on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, therefore He is the ultimate rest. Nidana means that everything, even the Brahman effulgence, rests on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. He is the knower of everything that is happening in this world, and its knowledge, and if knowledge has any end, He is the end of all knowledge. Therefore He is the known and the knowable. He is the object of knowledge, because He is all-pervading. Because He is a cause in the spiritual world, He is transcendental, He is also the chief personality in the transcendental world. Tvam Adi Deva Purusha, Tvadadi Deva Purusha Puranas, Tvam Asya Vishvasya Param Nidanam, Tvadetesi Vedyam Chaparam Chidama, Tvayatatam Vishvam Anantarupa. You are the original personality of Godhead, the oldest, the ultimate sanctuary of this manifested cosmic world. You are the knower of everything, and you are all that is knowable. You are the supreme refuge above the material modes, O limitless form. This whole cosmic manifestation is pervaded by you. Bhagavad Gita is trying to convince us that Krishna is God. We're a little slow to become convinced, but gradually we can become convinced. In other words, one who becomes convinced that Krishna is actually who he claims to be and who his devotees claim to be, then everywhere he looks, he'll see Krishna. That it says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that even Krishna's expansions, such as Narayan in Vaikuntha and his incarnations, their mood is, I'm the servant of Krishna. That even Krishna's expansions, who are Krishna himself, think that they're servants of Krishna. And indeed, all incarnations are all ultimately servants of Krishna. In other words, everyone is Krishna's servant. Ishvara, what's that? Ekala, Eka Krishna. Ekala, Ishvara Krishna. Are a sabhavritya, that everyone is ultimately Krishna's servant. we may accept being Krishna's servant, or we may try to think that we're the master, or potentially the master. Because in the material world, everyone would like to be the master, and has a hard time being the master here. If you haven't noticed, even we try to be the master, not everyone surrenders. Neither they surrender to Krishna, nor do they surrender to us. Now, if they won't surrender to Krishna, how do we actually expect they're really going to surrender to us? That, compared to Krishna, how much do we deserve to be surrendered to? Unless we become a representative of Krishna by giving Krishna's words, just like a sannyasi. People bow down to the sannyasi. Now if they think, if the sannyasi thinks, oh, now all these people are bowing down to me, now I become Narayan. Now that will be good for the people bowing down to the sannyasi, because at least they won't have to fast for that day. But for the sannyasi, if he thinks that now everyone's bowing down to me, now, if we're all 1/10,000th the size of Tip of Heron's size, people would have to have a very good vision to be able to see you, to bow down to you. But actually, they're bowing down because the sannyasi is supposed to be a representative of Krishna. Not Narayan, but a representative of Narayan. At least personifying Narayan in some respect due to being renounced. Specifically, not having any physical contact with the opposite sex. And therefore, that's worthy of some kind of appreciation, which is manifested by bowing down. Now, when you bow down to someone, you don't lose any money. It's not that you bow down and the sannyasi comes and picks your pocket. But it's a sign of respect, and we only, according to what we're thinking about, either positively or negatively, that's the qualities that we acquire. So the idea is that we offer respect to others in order to acquire their qualities. We should know what qualities we're looking for, so we know which qualities to respect. Now, if you go to a rock concert, people are also showing appreciation and reverence to the people who are singing. Although they may look like they're a cat screeching out of hell, still they're being offered some appreciation and respect. And we can imagine that some of the people, or most of the people at that concert, they're in the future going to look like their cats screeching out of hell. Because a satsanga tyag, or according to Purusha Prakriti, so he punkte Prakriti Jangunang Karna Guna Sango Sad Asad Yoni Janmasu. That the living entities in this world, they follow the ways of life, enjoying the three modes of material nature. This is due to their association with those modes, and thus they meet with both good and evil amongst the various species. So association, sangha. According to the association that we keep, that's what we develop. Not exactly we. In other words, if we associate with Krishna, then we'll wake up. And if we associate with the modes of material nature, then we develop whatever qualities that we associate with. Better the mode of goodness, to associate with people in the mode of goodness, such as Brahmins, etc. Because then there's some hope of understanding properly who we are and what our goal of life is. Namely, we're Krishna's eternal servant, and we should be, hopefully, thinking about Krishna, his name, his form, his quality, his pastimes, etc. We can start with the name at least. We should be thinking about Krishna, because then we are back in reality again. As much as we're absorbed in the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness, to that extent we wake up and we're back to reality again, to what's actually going on. And if we don't do that, if we associate with some other mode, especially ignorance and passion, then we're in a nightmare. And obviously we can see that the world right now, practically everyone, and to ourselves to some extent, are also in a nightmare. Of course, we may be oblivious to what's going on in the world, and that's the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We don't really know what's going on. Nor do the people out in the world know what's going on. Nor do the people who are so-called controlling the material world nowadays. They don't know what's going on either. What's actually going on is people are getting their reactions to their sinful activities specifically so they can wake up and understand theoretically and by experience exactly as Krishna says here, that he's the origin of everything, he's the controller of everything. What is that? The verse again. Tvam Adi Deva Purusha Puranas Tvamasya Vishvasya Param Nidanam Veteshi Vedyam Chapuram Chadama Mayatatam Vishvam Anantarupam. The Krishna supply, he pervades everything. He's controlling everything. Tvam Adi Deva, he's the original person. This is not just some cultish book that was written, you know, spoken supposedly 5,000 years ago, and a few freakish people couldn't make it in the material world, they sit around listening to it. Because they have nothing else to do. And just to pass the time, they light candles and... So we may even think like that to some extent. We dance around a tree in the morning, a bush. We feed our food to these statues. We chant some mantra just so we don't have to think anymore over and over again, so we get brainwashed, our brain gets numb, we don't have to think. So we may even think like that sometimes, because if we don't actually accept, well, we should say at least Krishna keeps on telling us in different ways in Krishna's devotees that everything is under his control. And only when we actually realize that everything is under Krishna's control, that he is the origin of everything, he is pervading everything. Tvayatatam Vishva Tvam Adi Deva Purusha Puranas Tvam Asya Vishvasya. He's the control of the entire universe. Param Nidanam. And he's our real shelter. Only that we can actually chant Hare Krishna peacefully. We can actually hear the holy name. And when we actually come to the platform of peacefulness, then we can actually utilize our intelligence. Krishna will give us the intelligence to actually feel Krishna's presence. Feel Krishna's presence, of course, that comes naturally, because if we chant offenselessly, and that means without thinking ourselves to be Krishna, without struggling with the thoughts, how can I become Krishna in the future? Why couldn't I become Krishna in the past? If we give up those thoughts, then we can chant in such a way that we remember Krishna. That he's a coward boy in Vrindavan, or maybe he's Varaha, or maybe he's, you know, Nrisimhadev, maybe he's the Panchatattva. We remember Krishna, and then there's something to feel about. We can't feel very much about the sky, we can't feel very much about the air, we can't feel very much about the mountains, so much, but we can feel about a person. And as we know, when people fall in love in the material world, they feel. It's not that they think about some their beloved and, you know, just some kind of image, some kind of form. They actually feel about the form. So feeling is natural if you actually have some connection with that form. You actually believe you have a relationship with that form. So we actually believe we have a relationship with Krishna, and we actually work for Krishna, for his mission. And when we chant Hare Krishna, we don't lament or hanker to become, we don't lament that we couldn't become Krishna yesterday, and we're worried we can't become Krishna today, and we really want to become Krishna. We want to become a little Krishna. We don't need 16,108 gopis. Maybe just 108 would be all right. That would be enough for me. No, we don't try to become Krishna, but we try to become the servant of Krishna. Then when we chant Hare Krishna, then we'll remember those great devotees who are actually servants of Krishna. And in their association, because they themselves, just like in the spiritual world, just a little thing from the, what is the name of that book? Vilapkushala Manjari. So, Raghunath Das Goswami, his identity in the spiritual world is Tulsi Manjari, or his identity is also Rati. Rati means love, attachment. His identity is as one of Srimati Radharani's Manjaris, which means her associates. And they're very attached to Srimati Radharani because she's the personification. She's Krishna's Ladini Shakti. She is love, compassion, all the good qualities, ecstasy, unlimited bliss and pleasure. So it's easy to become attached to someone who has unlimited bliss and pleasure. And that means, as it says, one of her qualities, she has 25 qualities that are mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And one of them is she's very attached to her associates. So they get all her love and mercy also. So when Rati Manjari and Kasturi Manjari, because Radharani, Srimati Radharani, she can't exist without service to Krishna. She can't live without service, just like a plant can't live without water. So unless she's engaged in Krishna's service, then she dries up. She becomes completely disturbed. But when she's engaged in Krishna's service, then she's completely, of course she's always blissful because she's always engaged in Krishna's service. But externally she manifests her enthusiasm when she's actually engaged in cooking for Krishna or dancing for Krishna or something. So she's cooking for Krishna because Mother Jasoda asked that Srimati Radharani cook something for Krishna, because she got the benediction that Durvasa Muni could, she fed Durvasa Muni one time some prasadam. Actually, not exactly prasadam. Durvasa Muni, according to when I studied Russian, we go over a book called Little Bhakta. So it tells stories about Krishna in Russian. And according to this story, which I don't know the authenticity, but it sounds good. One day, Durvasa Muni came, and he was hungry. And he demanded, and Radharani was playing with her friends in the sand of Vrindavan. And Durvasa Muni shows up and says, I'm hungry, feed me. And all the gopis became very disturbed because they know Durvasa Muni, if he's pleased, he gives benedictions. And if he's displeased, he curses whoever he's displeased with. So Durvasa Muni said, either you give me food, or I'm going to curse you. You're going to get some old man as your husband and et cetera, seven wives, typical curse. And they said, wait a second, Durvasa Muni, we'll go home, we'll get something from our mother, and we'll give you something that's worthy of you. He said, no way. He said, right now, either you give me something to eat, or I'm going to curse you. And if you give me something to eat, I'll bless you. So Radharani takes the sand with some Jamuna water, mixes it together, makes some pancakes from it, hands it to Durvasa Muni. And Durvasa Muni said, are you sure? No worries. And Lalita goes, yeah, sure. Whatever Srimati Radharani makes is first class. So he eats it and he said, wow, this is really good. He said, do you have any more? So they hand him a whole bunch of, you know, Jamuna mud and Jamuna water, pancakes. And he eats it all. He said, oh, this is really first class. And he said, how is this possible that this mud and the water could be so tasteful? So Srimati Radharani says, you know, everything in Vrindavan is blissful and tasteful. That's the nature of Vrindavan. It's eternally blissful and tasteful. So anyhow, Durvasa Muni gave Srimati Radharani the benediction that whatever you cook will be, whoever eats it will become healthy and will live for a long, long time. So Mother Jasoda heard that and she assisted that Srimati Radharani cook for Krishna. Whatever Krishna eats, that Srimati Radharani should cook. So she made some sweets and she hands them to Rati and to Kasturi Manjari's and says, I can't go there, but you can go and you can act as my emissary. So Rati Manjari's ecstatic. Now, what does this mean? She's actually acting as the emissary for Srimati Radharani, because Rati has nothing but Radha and Krishna in her heart. First Radha and then Krishna. So actually wherever she goes, Srimati Radharani and Krishna are actually there. It's not that they're, it's just a thought, but they're actually there. And the ecstasy of associating with Srimati Radharani and Krishna is there also. Everything's there. So when they arrive at Nandagram and Rati gives the, and Kasturi Manjulis give the sweets to Mother Jasoda, Mother Jasoda comes up and hugs them. She's the universal mother and they're absorbed. And as she says, Mother Jasoda, this is just like, because she has tears in her eyes, milk is flowing from her breast out of affection for her Rati and for Kasturi. She said, this is just like I was embracing Srimati Radharani. Because in fact, Rati, Manjari, and Kasturi are non-different from Srimati Radharani. They have their own personalities, but they're also, wherever they go, the whole loving exchanges between Srimati Radharani and Krishna and the other associates in Vrindavan are also there. So that's the same, that's our goal, is become non-different from Krishna by always associating with Krishna, by remembering him in the spirit of service. It's a spirit of service that brings us into a remembrance of Krishna. The more we develop the attitude of service, then the more we become eligible to actually carry Radha and Krishna and their associates in our heart. And then we become non-different from them. Just like you put an iron in the fire, I think it's hotter and hotter and hotter, and then it becomes non-different from the fire. So that's the progression of Krishna consciousness. And here, that, as it says, tatam, what's the first word again? Tvam Adi Deva Purusha Puranas. Tvam Adi Deva. You are the original person. Everything's coming from you. So that's a fact. The question is whether we accept it as a fact or not. If we accept it as a fact, then whatever goes on, we'll remember Krishna. And if we don't accept it as a fact, then we'll be fighting in the material world. Because we'll think, oh, this person loves me, this person hates me, this person's good, this person's bad, this is good, this is bad. As if Krishna, we look one place, Krishna's good, and the other place we look, oh, he's bad here. Krishna is good everywhere. But all the good that Krishna is doing is not equal. Just like when the government punishes a criminal, the criminal doesn't take it as very good. When he gives a reward of a huge amount of money, the government, to someone, then they say, oh, the government's very nice. But the government is equally kind to the criminal, trying to rectify them, as the person they're rewarding for their good activities. It's only due to the imagination that one imagines the government is good here and bad there. Of course, nowadays a good government would be bad everywhere. It's just an analogy. But the understanding is whatever Krishna is doing to everyone, and there's always some, Krishna has the best interest of everyone at heart, and not everyone has their own best interest in heart. That's the problem. But we should understand how Krishna has the best interest and try to work accordingly. Of course, we're supposed to be the agents of mercy. that all people's problems are solved if they simply chant Hare Krishna, offenselessly. If they learn how to chant Hare Krishna, and that inspires them to actually engage in Krishna's service, then gradually this dream of good and bad in the material world will go away. And when we'll see how everything is ultimately coming from Krishna, that Tvam Adi Deva Purusha Puranas, that he's the oldest, Tvam Asya Vishvasya Param Nidanam, and he's the shelter of everyone. He's sheltering everyone, and everyone's taking shelter of him, even we're taking shelter of his energy. That by Krishna's mercy, we have the sun, we have the moon, we have the air, we have the food, we have the heat, the light, everything is Krishna's giving us shelter here. But he's giving us shelter here so we can realize that he's the shelter. So we can realize him personally. And if we just take his shelter, all the things he's offering us, and we reject him, then we're very unfortunate. Such a generous person who's trying to help us, and then we just take advantage of him, and we don't appreciate him, and the kindest, greatest person who can give us all protection, we only take a little bit of his protection. Prabhupada gives the example that you go to a multi-billionaire and you ask him for 50 cents. You could ask him for so many other things, so much more, but you're only asking for 50 cents. So we accept Krishna's shelter, this little bit that we're accepting, and not accept his full shelter, more shelter, and ultimately his full shelter, then the only person we're really cheating is ourselves. Anyhow, I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? We seem to have a problem every time with our microphone. I guess it's part of our pastime here.
Hare Krishna. You stressed the importance of chanting offenselessly. Can I chant offenselessly by my own effort? Can I get to this stage of offenseless chanting by my own effort?
Well, if we think we have our own effort, then no. We understand that it's a combination between Krishna's mercy and our trying to make an effort. Because what kind of effort could we make? After all, we're only one 10,000th the size of the tip of our size. The only effort we can make is by trying to dovetail our desires with Krishna's desires. So we have no independent effort we can make. Only Krishna gives us, by his mercy of his representatives, by Guru Sadhu and Shastra, by the Super Soul, he's giving us an opportunity to utilize our effort to please him, to serve him. He's giving us that opportunity. But it's not just our effort. It's the effort of so many other devotees and Krishna himself that give us the possibility of making some spiritual advancement. So to think we can do anything by our own effort is, like, we can't even, without the material or the spiritual nature is giving us or providing us with the opportunity to think that it's us. Without giving us the opportunity to fulfill our desires, either spiritually or materially, we can't do anything. Matter of fact, we are not doing, in the material world, directly, we don't do anything. We desire, and Krishna either fills the desire through his material energy, or if it's a spiritual desire we have, he fulfills it through the spiritual energy. But all we're doing is desiring. So our effort is never by itself. Just like in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Adishtanam tata karata karanam cha pritag vidam vividas cha pritag chesta daivam chaivatra panchanam. There are five causes for the accomplishment of any kind of activity. Adishtanam, which means the body that we're in, which we didn't create. It's not our body. Tata karma, karata. We ourselves, as the desirer, adishtanam tathakarta, karanam, the senses by which things which we didn't create, our eyes, our ears, etc., our working senses, our knowledge acquiring senses, chak pritag vidan, and the energy that allows the combinations of these things, either through the false ego or through the real ego. And then finally, daiva chaivatra panchino, finally the super soul in the heart, who's supplying us all the time with either spiritual remembrance or material remembrance. So we're not independent. We're a factor, but we're not the only factor in what was going on, either spiritual or material activities. Does that answer your question?
Yes, and I guess this goes for the all aspects of sadhana, because many times I hear that we have to do you have to wake up early in the morning, you have to this, you have to do that, you have to do many things. But all these things, we cannot do it by our own effort,
no,
actually.
No, we can't. We have to find out from someone who knows how to do them. And they found out because they found out from someone else who knew. They didn't make it up. They found out from someone else who knew how to do it. And ultimately they found out from Krishna. So it's not like a secret. These things are there if we want them to be there for us. But, yeah, everything. Just like if I want to wake up early in the morning, I just don't decide tomorrow I'm going to wake up early in the morning. There may be so many obstacles due to the fact that I've done so many things that are preventing me from waking up early. So then I have to pray to Krishna, I have to find out, you know, what are the things I'm doing that are preventing me from waking up early. Like if every, I remember one time I was in, we had a, there was a Rath Yatra in San Francisco, 1972 or 74, I can't remember, I think probably it was 72. And I used to go there every year. I was in Texas, which was a couple of thousand miles away, or 3,000 kilometers, to see Srila Prabhupada in Los Angeles, and I'd see him in San Francisco. So we went to San Francisco, and Prabhupada was staying at Kesha Bharti, at that time, Prabhu's house, and all the temple presidents. I was a temple president at the time. We came into Prabhupada's room, and we did Abhishek for him. Every temple president, including myself, we paid different amounts of money to do Abhishek. So I got a chance. I gave a donation to Fan Prabhupada. Yeah. And at the end, they brought this huge thing of prasadam. I was saying, wow, I'm hungry. We're going to have a feast. And Prabhupada told everyone good night. And he stayed back to, He called us up, each one of us up, and he gave us some prasadam, and he gave me a strawberry. And he looked at me and he said, "Don't eat very much tonight." And then we all left, and I forgot my bee bag, so I came back, and I was there watching Prabhupada. He Prabhupada had the ability to just toss prasadam into his mouth. I saw a few times Prabhupada tossing prasadam into his mouth. So, even to know how to eat properly, why I don't get up in the morning, usually it's because sometimes we may eat too much at night. And therefore, we have to stay in bed because there's no energy to go up. All our energy is still in our stomach, digesting the food from last night. So that may be, you know, we may have to find out there's a few tricks to how to do anything. And we have to find out from those who know the tricks. Maybe someone, a confirmed prasadam addict who gave it up and was able to wake up early. Something like that. Because if you stay asleep, at least dream about Krishna. Or at least eating prasadam. Isn't it right? Isn't that right, Mukunda Prabhu? Anything else? Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj, for the class. We do understand that originally we were all with Radha and Krishna, and we have fallen to this material world, and we are trying now to regain our, our original position. So at what stage of bhakti will we be able to regain our service and know who we are in the spiritual world?
You mean what stage you give that actual realization to know your spiritual identity?
Yes.
Well, that's revealed generally at the stage of bhava to a certain extent. Because at the stage of bhava, the other stages we start remembering Krishna. Like for instance, even now, we have some idea of a Krishna servant at least. So that gives us a good idea of who we actually are, because everyone's Krishna servant, including ourselves. So we get, but the actual who, what kind of service we render in the spiritual world, that we get a little hint of that at the stage of bhava, because at the stage of bhava, our actual feelings towards Krishna are fully awakened, at least the purity, if not the intensity, which is starting to develop. But then one actually knows for sure who I am and what my identity is.
Thank you.
But now, all in the spiritual world, everyone is servant to Krishna. So we can get the ecstasy and the love, at least a little glimpse of it, even before we find out who we actually are. Because when we find out who we are, we're not going to find out that we're one of the 8 principal gopis or something. All we're going to find out is that we're a Krishna servant. That's all.